Brain and brain, what is brain?
Hippocrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hailing frequencies open. You are listening to Trek and Logic's listening post that goes with Trek and Logic 157, where we reviewed the original series episode All Our Yesterdays for Stardate 2014.292. First up, Space Mailbag!
In space!
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Do we put the mailbag in space? Somebody should probably go get that so we can read it.
That's how we catch them.
Oh, I thought it's still in space.
It's like a big windsock on the outside of the ship, and it just catches the mail as we're flying.
Yeah, big butterfly net.
So, like, just various envelopes and packages, and it just collects them?
Yep.
Yeah. It's got some kind of filtration system. It's really smart. Doesn't pick up everything, just the letters.
Smartest windsock you've ever seen.
Yes, right. There you go.
And it's shielded, too, right?
That's right. Well, we don't want meteorites going in there.
Well, no, I was just thinking, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what it's filters for.
Bill collectors. Oh, I'm so sorry. Somehow your bill got incinerated.
That's right. It's what you meant. Bill collectors.
It's no.
No. Bill's decided he's never leaving the ship again.
Oh. Yeah, that's programmed into the deflector shield.
Okay, our first one comes from Billy. So it's not a Bill, it's Billy.
Yeah, that's the only way to get through to us. Your name is Bill.
That's right.
You got to go by William, Billy, Liam, Will. Will is good. We like Will.
Or Tom.
But we'll get to that.
Okay, Billy says, Sluggo was probably some Ferengi child's misplaced pet, and he'll never find it because the Enterprise crew got it and hid it on another planet, light years from its original location. The child's psyche was permanently affected, and after growing up, the child takes over his family's beverage empire and renames it Sluggo Cola in memory of his pet.
Nice.
It could have just been a lucky slug that managed to escape the plate of a Ferengi marauder, too.
No. Yeah.
Thanks, Billy.
It's funny, we were just talking about Futurama.
I love that. Sluggo and the party slug.
Yes.
I'm tired. Just let me die. And he was trying to, but then Hoshi and the crew took him away.
That's right.
Well, they almost killed him.
That's right. All right. Our next one is from Glimmer Twins fan. Mike, I'm with you 100%. All Our Yesterdays.
I see why Mike is reading this one.
Well, of course. Uh-huh. All Our Yesterdays was a decent episode. I'm thinking that since you gave your rating first, a couple of your crewmates gave the episode a lower score to drag your six down.
No.
No, we're not allowed to do that.
No, we don't do that. That would be unfair.
That's Federation unethical. Law.
Yeah.
Federation law.
It's very
absolutely
unethical.
We're all sworn our duty to Starfleet.
Yep.
Stay strong. If you want a mutiny, I've got your back.
I think they hit reply all. Glimmer Twins fan.
Oh, that could be.
Okay, next.
Oh, wait, sorry. Does that mean he has your back? Does that mean he's going to stab you in it if you start to mutiny?
It could be. Well, no, that would be if we were in the mirror universe.
Okay, you need a photonic knife, Glimmer Twins fan. And then you can have his back.
You'll need like 30 of them.
That's our current mic count, 30.
No,
it goes up and down depending on, you know, detail jobs.
Right. But we did have to figure it out.
I think it's 18. Isn't it 18 mics? After that, it becomes too difficult.
I'd have to look it up again. We figured it out once.
Because somebody was going to make figures?
Yeah.
No, it was 18 mics.
They were trying to collect all of the action figures and they wanted to know how many mics they had to buy.
Wait a minute. I didn't know we had Treknologic action figures. When do I model for mine? I can't wait.
Oh. Well, you know, as soon as you know what race you are.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Apparently, my action figure is just a little ball of light.
Yeah, the Bill's action figure is just like a little blob of Play-Doh.
You can make it into anything you want. I'll be whatever you need. I'm whatever Gotham needs me to be. Wait, what? I'm whatever Starfleet needs me to be. Yeah,
he's Jell-O.
He's Mr. Potato Head. Just put on the features on the forehead.
That's right. Yeah.
It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Of course, wait, that's Slinky.
That's Slinky, but. Or Log, depending on, you know. Log. Love me some Log. Anyway. All right, there. Just wanted to clear the pipes off Mike there before I read this next letter from Stephanie. Hey, crew. Just want to say a big thank you for the awesome birthday shout out you did on the last show for me from my friend Kat. It was such a great surprise when I turned in the podcast on Monday morning of my birthday. When I tuned into the podcast on the morning of my birthday. As always, you guys continue to be the best Star Trek podcast out there and a terrific group of people. I look forward to your show every week, and I love listening to some of the oldies in the time between the new shows. Live long and podcast, Stephanie. That is such a sweet letter. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, Stephanie's from Egypt, and so can you do that in an Egyptian accent?
No, I can't do that.
No, I'm not even sure if she's actually from Egypt. I think he's just making things up.
Yeah, I think he is too.
he's making things up.
You know, it's funny. It's kind of British. Here's the funny thing. I actually did a documentary about the 2011 uprising. So I've listened to a lot of people speaking English with an Egyptian accent, and I usually do like the classic send up of some dialect, and I think respect for the Egyptian people. I'm not going to do that at this juncture.
Receive an Oscar?
What's that?
Aren't you going to receive an Oscar for some of your documentary work?
Well, we were hoping to get nominated, but you know, didn't happen.
Those guys are all jerks.
Here's the thing, though: the film that came out this past year, that was nominated, though I believe did not win. Did you hear the motorcycle?
I thought that was your stomach growling, Mike.
He's hungry. But the film that came out that was Oscar nominated about Egypt, that tells the story that happens after our film. Our film follows the removal from power of President Mubarak, and it was a really triumphant moment when that happened. And then, unfortunately, it went really bad after that. So the film so if you ever do want to watch a good documentary about Egypt, I haven't actually seen it yet, but I'm told that I don't know the name of it. It's the Egyptian film that I did not make. But you know, watch both of them. Ours is called Uprising.
And if you want to watch the other one, just look up Egyptian film that Bill did not make. I'm sure Google will find it.
It will. And I think it's on Netflix. I've been meaning to watch it for a while. I sound like a complete idiot, but and it's only because I'm backpedaling because I don't want to do an accent. I don't know how to do it. Right. I should. I really should know how to do it and not make it sound really stupid. I mean, here's the phrases I can draw upon. There was a lot of blood. That's something I heard a lot in this film. So, yeah, you know.
Next up, Chris is going to say, like, and this listener is a penguin. Can you do it in a penguin dialect?
Right, but it would only be thought balloons. Penguins are always silent. Well, you know, like on the Bugs Bunny cartoon with Daffy Duck or whatever, he's just like this nemesis that just keeps like appearing. You know, never makes a sound.
You know, they actually do make noise, right?
I'm sure they do. I'm imagining like the March of the Penguins.
1960s Batman?
No, not that That's penguin.
What about Well, they got the new penguin on Gotham. Oh, Fish Mooney, she doesn't like me much anymore. But I'm a very up and coming, very smart individual.
He's awesome.
He's amazing. He's so good.
I mean, like real penguins, not Batman villains.
she doesn't. Carrie doesn't like Batman affiliated penguins.
Only Morgan Freeman affiliated penguins. You know.
Lots all right, can we move on?
Thing to watch.
All right, Carrie.
The baby eggs.
Carrie's.
Oh, it's my turn.
Carrie's in the future right now.
I am in the future. I'm sorry.
The future where penguins speak.
I had to skip to the future a little bit to take care of something. But I'm back now. This one is from Elena. Hey, everyone. I know it's been a while, but I'm finally back. Last time I wrote in, I was in the middle of my exams, which, by now, I finished with pretty good scores.
Yay.
All right. Woo-hoo.
Yay, we love hurrah. Good grades. Since then, I've started training as a nurse and also moved into the school's residential home. Sadly, their communications are extremely restricted. No internet, no phone. I don't even have a post box yet.
What?
Wow. On top of that, my faithful Nokia N95, one of the last phones you could throw at pretty much everything and wouldn't break, broke due to some internal error.
What? Hold on a second. Is she like a nurse for the Obsidian Order or something? Like, what is going on?
Could be.
She might. So now I finally acquired one of those smartphones where I have internet, phone, and most of all, the opportunity again to listen to you and write in. Sadly, I don't have the possibility to send in a voicemail, so sorry, Bill. But if you want to have a German accent in here, you'll have to do it yourself once more.
Okay, I understand. Thank you for the free rein on doing the German accent. I really do appreciate it.
You know, Arnold is Austrian.
Yeah.
I actually have a funny story about that. And I'm not doing Arnold. I'm actually doing a German dude from Berlin who Arnold made fun of.
Wow.
For his accent. That's a story for another time. It's someone else's story. But true story. True story. That's the source. Oh, when I go to go German, it's this guy I know. And I hope he never listens to this because I will be in so much trouble.
Note to Bill.
Yeah. He's like, don't really, Bill? That. Is that what I sound like? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm sorry. It's really accurate.
Well, Elena says, also, I now have the possibility to listen to TNL while driving, thanks to my phone and the fact that I now have a driving license and a dad who has enough faith in me to lend me his shuttle. I mean, car. Up to now, that works pretty well, especially as there are no people nearby getting annoyed with my laughing out loud in a bus or a train. Not that I would care. So I promise that from now on, I'll write in more often again to comment, and I'll start right here. All are yesterdays. Actually, I pretty much like this episode.
Boom, that's two.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's why Mike had me read this one, is because it's the only way I would say I like this episode, is when it's a direct quote from someone else.
It's a win for Mike, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I'll just go and clip this out. It'll be Carrie saying, all our yesterdays. I actually like this episode.
You know, you could go ahead and do that just by clipping out different episodes, right?
Oh, yeah, but it wouldn't sound as good.
You can get it from, you know, like all our yesterdays, actually.
I don't want it to sound like our puzzle piece intro.
So Elena says she pretty much likes this episode. And because of that, I have to say something in defense of the writers. As you might know from the forums, I am a bit of a writer, and as such, I know that often an idea does not start with a concept, but with snippets of dialogue, a certain image of a situation or a character, and then you patch that together. And more often, you rather have a mid part and maybe a conclusion. So leading up to the main events often is the hardest part. And that is where those tiny plot holes come into existence that stretch over the whole episode until it looks like a giant piece of Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese.
Yeah, right. That's
come here. I'm going to cut you.
Swiss cheeses to Swiss cheese.
We always have to make fun of each other.
Yes.
It's a good thing to do.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Now, to come back to all our yesterdays, the episode did have a great concept. I really like the idea of going back to the past when the future is no longer an option. Other than in, like, for example, Spock's brain, or even better, that which shall not be named, there was a great thought behind this, and it was not carried out badly. Sometimes I think that we shouldn't assume that things unsaid were automatically things not thought of. Just that he didn't say it doesn't mean Scotty didn't think of scanning the planet or didn't actually do. Why would he send an away team if he didn't know they were in trouble, for example, by scanning the planet and not finding them there anymore?
Now, hold on. He had 15 minutes left before he had to warp out. It seems like he would have sent somebody down.
Right. Well, I mean, then again, if he scanned the planet and they weren't on the planet anymore, sending an away team down to the surface to find them is probably
just
not a good
idea. Just go down there and search around the planet.
For people that aren't there on the planet.
Right.
Well, just go to the same place where they disappeared and poke around and see if you disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calling all our first year red shirts.
Yeah. You had a bunch of red shirts ready to go.
Oh, that's right.
For duty.
Cotton, I've got a bunch of red shirts willing to die just to move this plot forward.
Elena continues, I know that I've become pretty good in explaining those plot holes away, but I think there needs to be someone who looks into this more optimistically. I could go on now explaining most of the holes you found in this plot, but this mail is already getting rather long. To close it off, here are some Trekkie questions of the day for you to puzzle about. A. In Star Trek 3/Star Trek 4, when did Chekhov change?
What? Change into what?
Clothes? His clothes, you mean? Or,
his personality? Or both?
Is he a werewolf?
Maybe his accent changed. Maybe he maybe he got a penguin accent.
Right. Well, either way, his hair was perfect, Chris.
Yeah.
True.
And B, assuming that the events of Star Trek 2 and 3 are taking place on one long day, what is your ranking on who had the worst day ever in Starfleet history on that day?
Probably McCoy. Well, Spock. No, David.
Yeah, David had David. Bad day.
David had the worst
David. It's all his fault,
yes.
And he pays for it.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Kirk had a pretty bad day. They all had really bad days.
Yes.
Christopher Lloyd was having a great day. Like, that guy was having an amazing day until he just wouldn't give Kirk his hand.
Yeah.
I have had enough of you.
But Sovik changed.
Yeah, into like a completely different person.
Yeah, like a big change.
Big change there. She is no longer Kirstie. She is Robin.
You know, sometimes we don't have enough Star Trek knowledge to
answer questions
that our fans just take to heart.
Yeah.
I don't know about Chekhov changing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Star Trek 3 is the Wrath of Khan, right?
Yep.
And then Star Trek 4 is the one with the whales.
No, Star Trek 3 is the search for Spock.
Yeah.
Oh, Star Trek 3 is the search for Spock. So they find Spock.
And then Star Trek 4 is the whales.
Star Trek 4 is the whales, right?
Voyage home. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought Star Trek 4 was the whales. Okay, so they find Spock and then they go, like, find whales.
Mm-hmm. So, see, we're going to have to go back and look and see what clothes Chekhov was wearing at the end of Search for Spock.
Well, did he shift into a security role?
Well, when they captured him in Voyage Home, wasn't he wearing like a Starfleet uniform?
Well, hold on. When was he wearing the Buster Brown outfit?
That was the beginning of the. Oh, that was in Search for Spock because they commandeered stuff, right? When he had
maybe
to go
point, Mike. Maybe her point is he's the only guy that brought a change of clothes. His is the only costume that changes between 3 and 4. I mean, it was pretty wild to have 3 movies come out that were like back to back to back action.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's in.
And Spock did way too much LDS in the 60s.
That's right.
I don't think you can Google Chekhov clothes because that doesn't work so hot.
No.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of a Buster Brown look.
Yeah, that brown and
leather jacket.
Yeah.
No,
he didn't have the leather jacket.
That was
you share that
Voyage Home. No, in Voyage Home, he's wearing a leather jacket. I'm looking at it.
Well,
well, okay, it could be vinyl, I suppose.
It's pleather.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm looking at this one, and here in this one, which I think is, it is a search for Spock.
Holy, holy moly, you weren't kidding when you said Buster Brown. He's got the collar and everything.
Yeah, the little white collar with the pink jacket.
You mean the giant white collar?
Yes.
Okay, the giant white collar over the brown shirt with the pink jacket.
That's pretty insane.
That's from number three?
Yeah. Yep.
And what's he wearing?
That's from three. Four. And then in number four, he has the leather jacket. Maybe he was trying to blend into the time frames.
Yeah.
He's trying to look as good as Sulu. Sulu had like a leather.
Yeah, Sulu had a great leather jacket. Yeah. And he was busting Kirk out of jail.
Don't call me tiny.
Yeah. Sulu heard that in the like 80s, there was Starsky and Hutch. And so he wanted to look like them.
Can you blame them?
Exactly.
We have a, we, yeah, 70s cop shows.
Look, he has like a freaking
cape.
Leather cape.
Yeah,
awesome.
Sulu has a leather cape. And
it's bad A. It's
oh my
really
God.
Bad A.
And now we're spending, you know, like 15 minutes talking about their clothes. Thanks, Elena.
Today on Trek Fashion.
I keep
Trek Fashionista.
Let me just go ahead and close out for Elena. Live long and podcast, Elena. Before we go even further off topic,
we need to have that podcast.
What we need is a David Bowie sound cue right now.
The Trek Fashion podcast.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe something from Zoolander.
Yes.
What is this? A ship for ants?
Oh.
Nice. Oh,
all right, let's move on to voicemails now.
All right, voicemails. We got a voicemail from
Mark in France.
Hello, relativists. It's Mark from Paris with some comments on your recent episode on All Our Yesterdays from the original series.
Here we go.
I have fond memories of this episode, so I really must disagree with your relatively low ratings for it. Surely there is nonsense in it, but name an episode of the original series without nonsense or illogical behavior or scientific BS. I was surprised with all your time travel-related comments, which were all negative. So why are you so down on time travel and the BS it engenders in this episode? It's no different here than in others that you really love. As both the Vulcan Science Academy and I agree, time travel cannot exist, so give it up. It doesn't exist. Now on to some specific points. Kirk tells the judge that he comes from an island called Earth, to which the judge replies, "I know no island Earth." Is this a reference to This Island Earth, a 1955 sci-fi film?
Yes.
I don't recall seeing it, but I'm going to give it a try. It seems kind of dreadful. But it'd be fun. Now, Mariette Hartley. I love Mariette Hartley. I don't recall you mentioning the work that really made her famous, perhaps because you're too young to recall it. From the late 1970s through the mid-1980s, she appeared in some 250 TV commercials for Polaroid cameras alongside James Garner.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Charming couple. It was quite funny. They were pleasant commercials, and the big part of that was the relationship between Mariette Hartley and James Garner.
I totally remember that.
It was to the point that people assumed that they were a couple in real life. She's delightful, delightful. You can find some of these commercials online. I heartily recommend them. Now back to the episode itself. One of the points that seemed to bother you was the fact that Spock reverts to barbaric behavior from his planet's past. This seems implausible to you. Why should Spock change just because he's in the past? But I think there is an explanation that makes a lot of sense. And since this seems to be one of your big problems with the episode, maybe you will want to up the ratings if you agree with my interpretation. You will recall that Vulcan's telepathy works on a collective basis to a limited degree. That's how Spock is able to feel the death of the Vulcan crew of the Intrepid in the episode The Immunity Syndrome. So presumably there is a collective pressure from logical Vulcans on each other to help them control their passions and their pulsions. And likewise, surely a planet full of barbaric but telepathic Vulcans would be putting out bad vibes to Spock, weakening his self-control. That's my explanation of why his behavior changes, and I think it does make sense. And
that's pretty good.
Will change your view a little bit on this episode overall, which is really an entertaining episode with Mr. Atos and so on. Anyway, that's all I have for this. So I wish you a happy Halloween, although this may not reach you in time. In that case, happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, live long and podcast. Ciao.
The good news is we can go back in the past and enjoy it before Halloween, too, if we need to.
That's true.
Or go ahead and enjoy it at Thanksgiving or, you know, do both.
But, hey, I kind of like that.
Giant okay, but my
Vulcan,
question is
Vulcan peer pressure.
How far does that peer pressure actually extend would be my question.
At least a few light years. Yeah. We know that much.
So if it's the entire planet, it could go pretty far.
I don't know. I wouldn't imagine that a mental capacity would necessarily be limited by distance.
Really?
Oh, Mr. Like, quantum mental effect.
Yeah.
Hello, Deepak.
Hey, I'm just a human being right now, right here.
He's just a human being right now.
That's right.
That's Deepak Chopra's thing. I am just a human being. It's a verb. It's a verb.
Oh, see what I mean?
And I'm not going to slip into the classic Apu accent to do Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
This is all. Please, I feel like I'm on trial this episode.
Sabina Pellon.
It's good that we're getting all your wide range of voice acting skills, Bill.
I'm kind of very interested in a commercial review podcast.
Reviewing 70s commercials?
I will just say I didn't watch a lot of TV in the 70s and early 80s.
Commercials.
And there was no internet back then, and there were no DVRs.
People are missing out.
And so I didn't see a lot of commercials.
People missing out on the immediacy.
Luckily, now there's YouTube, so you can go.
I know. So now I'm going to go because I love James Garner. So
They're really good commercials. I do remember those. I am certainly old enough to have seen them, Mark. Just so clear. But I completely forgot about them, you know? And then, of course, I mean, because to me it was like, okay, she did. Oh, the Polaroid lady's on Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's playing opposite the Rockford Files, you know. They were both on Friday nights. I don't know if they were played opposite each other. But.
All right.
But yeah, I actually kind of like
we started Mark's, off with.
I like Mark's explanation.
For a girl and a boy.
What?
The Slinky commercial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We kind of started off with that. Actually, I like the idea. But again, it's just a sentence. Add it in. If that was the real reason.
But that's, and I think that speaks to Elena's point as well, that sometimes these things just don't get, like they're thought of, but they don't get put in somehow.
Right.
But we have to review. We have to review what ended up on the screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Because I'm sure there was a lot of thought put into Star Trek: The Motion Picture. I'm sure they put a lot of thought into that, and they had all the best intentions.
Yeah.
But that's not what we got, so we couldn't give it.
We got 20 minutes of V'ger. Yes. Exploration? That was awesome. If you're high on drugs, watching the movie going, whoa, man. And I was not – I was a kid. I was definitely not high on drugs.
Look, it was that time
I saw it.
Gene Roddenberry's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Absolutely. That's yep, there you go. There.
All right.
So.
Hell of a summation.
You can give us feedback by giving iTunes review, which we didn't have one.
Well, we need to say that we did not get any iTunes reviews, so I have none to read still.
Aw.
And
I know.
We're not going to give you the sob story again, because clearly none of you have a heart. You do not care.
Maybe it's because I didn't put the violin in.
Yeah.
It might be.
All right. You can email us at feedback@trekologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. You can tweet us at Trekologic. You can find us on Facebook and Google+. And we have a Trekologic forum at trekologic.com. Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. Until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Trekologic, love long and prosper.
I think, you know, puppies and kittens cry when we don't get 5-star iTunes reviews.
Yep.
Right. Although, now, I will say that we're up to 2,080 follows on Twitter and 212 people liking our page on Facebook.
Nice.
It's funny, I picked up this pencil to write something down and...
and decided to smell it for some weird reason.
It smells bad. Just writing it. And it, it's a smensal.
Yeah. What flavor is like? Is it like root beer?
It's Monster Marsh.
Gross! It's like the bog of eternal stench.
Are you joking with me? They made a Smensal that smells like a marsh.
Yeah.
What marketing genius came up with that? Like, why don't they have a poo one then? Yeah, it's poo. And the more you write with it, the more it smells like poo. Of course, it's only brown pencil.
It's unless you want marshmallow.
No, it's not at all marshmallow.
What does a marshmallow even smell like?
Well, when you cook them, they smell good.
Oh, well, that's true. I got a
Problem. What it's supposed to smell like? I mean, I can't tell what it smells like.
You can't smell.
Yeah, that's true. Not much help. Sorry.
That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe okay. I'm glad I don't have a sense of smell because it was right up by my nose.
Yeah. That would have been bad. I hope it didn't rub off on your face and you walk around with it. You don't know.
Oh, I didn't actually touch my nose.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart. Good move. You are a scientist after all.
Yeah.